This is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Allison Keyes. Michelle Martin is away. Coming up, a school district in Rhode Island that fired nearly the whole staff comes to terms with the union to bring them all back. Can the broken school be fixed? But first, four states held primaries for races that politicos touted as bellwethers for the midterm elections in November. Whether or not you believe the hype that the political fate of this country can be found in the primary results from Arkansas, Kentucky, Oregon, and Pennsylvania, it's hard to ignore some of this year's trends. Last week on this program, we heard about the large number of African Americans running as Republicans, the most since Reconstruction. And last night, some historic results that some are taking as a referendum on the mood of a voting public increasingly disillusioned with politics in Washington. Two of our regular political contributors are here to talk about it. NPR's political editor Ken Rudin joins us right here in our studios in Washington. And Ruben Navarrete is a syndicated columnist with the San Diego Union-Tribune and also for CNN.com. He joins us from San Diego. Welcome to both of you.
Hi, Allison.
Good to be with you.
Ruben, let me start with you and a race we talked about last week. There was a Republican primary in Arkansas's 1st District where African-American GOP candidate Princella Smith shared with us some of the questions she was getting from voters.
Are you a conservative? Are you pro-life? What are you going to do about the unemployment rate in Arkansas? Those are the questions I get. It's been mainly media and press that asked me about race.
She was endorsed by Newt Gingrich, among others, but she lost. Ruben, what does that mean?
Well, she's still a young candidate. She's only 26 years old, remarkably. This is somebody who we're going to be hearing from a lot. I loved her comment about the fact that it's the job of people like me, typically, to come in from the press and ask about race. But the people on the ground there were concerned about more conservative issues. This is always going to be a hard slog. If you're going to go as a Republican, Latino, or Republican African-American, it's going to be a long, hard slog, and you may not ultimately be successful. I think that people like Princella Smith would be better off sort of challenging the Democratic Party in the primary to kind of push the party where it wants to go, as opposed to jumping ship altogether and going to the Republican side. Having said that, the reason I think that her message resonates with lots of African Americans is that they're tired of being taken for granted in states like Arkansas by white Democrats who frankly think African Americans have no place else to go, so they spend all their time and resources courting folks out in the suburbs. And so it's a very important message, and we ought to keep both parties honest, and people like Priscilla Smith are doing that.
Is her loss part of that whole alleged voter aversion to candidates that are backed by the establishment from both parties?
I think that's a good point. I don't think it helps in this election cycle to be endorsed by people like Newt Gingrich or Mike Huckabee or Dick Cheney. You saw in the Kentucky race, which I know we'll probably talk about, Dick Cheney endorsed the person who lost to Rand Paul.
Right.
And so it used to be that the establishment was an asset. In this particular mood, I don't think it is.
Ken wants to jump in.
Well, I was just thinking, if you're talking about endorsements that went nowhere, go no further than President Obama, who endorsed the Democratic candidates for governor of Virginia and New Jersey last year, endorsed Martha Coakley in Massachusetts in the special election back in January, and this week alone endorsed Arlen Specter in Pennsylvania. All candidates lost. It's hard to transfer popularity. As popular as Barack Obama may be among Democrats, as long as he's not on the ballot, it's hard to transfer that popularity to a candidate running on the ballot.
So, Ken, do you think all of the brouhaha over whether or not the president has coattails is too early to tell here, or just pontificating?
I think it doesn't. It never happens when you think of how popular Ronald Reagan was in the 1980s, and yet when he tried to save Republican control of the Senate in 1986, he failed abysmally, and not because they didn't like Ronald Reagan, they just didn't see that these candidates were emblematic of what Ronald Reagan stood for.
Ruben, what do you think about that?
I think that the idea of coattails is appealing, but it's sometimes exaggerated, and I don't think even popular presidents, as Ken points out, have that. The problem with Obama is that he's not universally popular. You know, having lost the independent vote and obviously having energized the conservatives, he's having problems with his own base. So he doesn't have coattails, as near as I can tell. He can keep endorsing folks, as Ken said, but he's not having much success. The good news for him is Republicans are also having not so much success. So it evens out, right?
Ken, let's talk about a different race in Arkansas. Senator Blanche Lincoln was in a kind of ugly race last night, and she didn't win outright. What happened there?
Well, what happened is she's a centrist, and she knows that if she can't run as a liberal in Arkansas, not that she's a liberal anyway, but in a state that gave Barack Obama only 39% of the vote, she knows that she has to keep to her centrist point of view. The progressives, the net roots out there, hate that philosophy. They thought that she was either a dino, a Democrat in her name only, or the fact that she was refusing to go along with the party, as she did with backing away from the public option and health care reform. So what she did, it was just really basically played footsie with the Democrats while talking to the Republicans as well. It has made her popular in the state, but has not made her popular with the liberal activists and the unions who spent a lot of money trying to defeat her. Now, she only got 45% of the vote against Bill Halter, the lieutenant governor, who was backed by the liberals. A third candidate got 13%, which pushes the two of them, Lincoln and Halter, into a June 8th runoff. The Republicans, good news for the Republicans, because that means the Democrats are going to be fighting each other for three more weeks while the Republican nominee could sit back and just watch it go on.
Ruben, I have been hearing that Blanche Lincoln has some issues with voters of color. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, she got in a report card that was issued there. The local NAACP leader in Arkansas gave her an F. Doesn't get any worse than that. Gave her an F in terms of being attentive and responsive to African Americans. This is the president of the Little Rock NAACP, Dale Charos, who says that he has never seen Blanche Lincoln be responsive to African American concerns except at election time. And when you're talking about a state like Arkansas, which has a very significant and loyal African-American population, African-Americans in Arkansas now have, as Ken said, a lot more leeway in this runoff, a lot more power in the runoff to come back to Blanche Lincoln and say, okay, you want our support in this runoff? Great. Tell you what, you have to give us some assurances that the next 6 years, if we put you back in Washington, are going to be different than the last six. It is incredibly difficult for somebody like Blanche Lincoln to pull off this bank shot of, on the one hand, appealing to white voters in the suburbs and still taking care of African-Americans in the city. I don't see how she can do that. But what I'm hearing from the NAACP in Arkansas is that she's doing it badly.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Allison Keyes. I'm speaking with Ruben Navarrete, a syndicated columnist and frequent contributor to CNN, and NPR's political editor, Ken Rudin. Ken, let's talk about the race that has been leading every news show, or at least all the ones in Washington, since yesterday. Arlen Specter lost in Pennsylvania. Is this a big surprise or not so much?
Not a surprise at all, but the irony, of course, is that the reason he left the Republican Party after 29 years in the Senate last year was because he knew he was going to lose the Republican primary. Here he is. He goes to the Democrats, gives them basically the 60th vote in the Senate, gets endorsed by President Obama, Governor Ed Rendell, and loses the Democratic primary. What his opponent, Joe Sestak, a two-term congressman, did that I thought was very effective, he ran ads reminding all the Democratic voters that it was President Bush who wholeheartedly endorsed Arlen Specter 6 years ago.
He had
ago.
Pictures of him and, and comments and everything.
With Sarah Palin and Rick Santorum, the former conservative senator from Pennsylvania, and the fact that Arlen Specter voted for the Bush Supreme Court nominees, Samuel Alito, John Roberts, and Democrats with long memories, of course, remember the grilling that Arlen Specter gave to Anita Hill back in 1991 during the Clarence Thomas Senate confirmation hearings. So really, it wasn't so much about the left taking control of the Democratic Party. It was about Arlen Specter, and after 30 years in the Senate, the voters had enough.
And Sestak couched it as something like, well, here's what happens when the party's not doing the right thing.
Well, right. It's not so much that they're not the right thing. They wanted the opportunity of getting 60th vote. And while Arlen Specter is not the cuddliest guy in the world, shall we say, but he did represent something that could have passed health care early in 2009 had the Democrats got their act together.
Ruben, what does Specter's loss mean or what does it show about the political mood in the country? Is it as dire as the pundits are saying?
Well, I think it's almost unique to Arlen Specter in the sense, I think what it tells me is that the American people are not as cynical as some politicians in Washington who think they can switch, horses midstream and no one's going to notice. When you are a lifelong Republican who, as Ken said, has made some name for yourself by going after people like Anita Hill, has made some enemies on the left, has made some enemies of Democrats in the process, and then you think for your own self-preservation that you can jump off and become a Democrat because that's now in vogue, what you've done now is you've ticked off the Republicans who you've left behind. You've ticked off the Democrats because the Democrats don't trust you. They say to themselves, why not just vote for Sestak? Why not just vote for a real Democrat, not one who's playing Democrat or impersonating a Democrat? Mm-hmm. And so this was, I think, the big non-shock of the night. I mean, if Arlen Specter had pulled this off, it would have been an extraordinary thing because when you do something like this, it's just not easy to pull it off. People don't trust you on either side. And so I think this was really a referendum on Arlen Specter. It's probably a good thing in the sense that we got to draw the line somewhere, folks. And if you're going to find someone who can just so conveniently change everything they say they believe in to preserve their own skin, then maybe you don't need that person in Washington.
Let's move on to Kentucky really briefly and take a listen to Rand Paul. He's the son of former presidential candidate Ron Paul, and he won, a Tea Party-backed candidate, I should add, against his opponent, Kentucky Secretary of State. Let's hear what Paul had to say after his win last night.
I have a message from the Tea Party, a message that is loud and clear and does not mince words. We've come to take our government back.
So, Ken, is the Tea Party on a nationwide roll? Should we be looking for them in everything coming up?
Well, they're on some kind of a roll. They basically forced Charlie Crist out of the Republican Party in Florida and gave the nomination going to Marco Rubio. They forced Bob Bennett, the senator from Utah, a conservative, into he couldn't even survive the convention process that would even gotten him to a primary. The fact is that as the party establishment lost in Pennsylvania with Arlen Specter, they certainly lost in Kentucky. Mitch McConnell was a strong backer of the Secretary of State, Trey Grayson, but basically that was the establishment, and Rand Paul used the Tea Party apparatus, used the anti-establishment anger to win an overwhelming victory, I guess close to 60% of the vote.
Ruben, how do you think he's going to do in the fall?
Very well, and I think that the Tea Party at the end of the day is going to be able to claim that they put a member into the Senate. I mean, this is a big deal. It's a big victory for the Tea Party. It's also some really nice poetic justice for the Republicans. This is not good news for the Republican Party because the establishment, as I mentioned earlier, Mitch McConnell, who's the other Republican senator from Kentucky, Dick Cheney and others, had endorsed Rand Paul's opponent, had come up against Rand Paul and said basically this is not the person to lead Kentucky. And what happened was the voters in Kentucky said, thank you very much, we don't care what you say, and they voted for Rand Paul anyway. So the Republicans, I think, are trying very desperately to say that the Tea Party are synonymous with Republican voters. They're their voters. They're in the back pocket of the Republican Party. Nonsense. You know, they've been riding this tiger, but last night the tiger took a chunk out of the backside of the Republican Party. And so it's great to watch because it gives some humility to both parties. And if the Republicans think that the Tea Party
Ruben,
are going to fall in line, they're crazy.
Ruben, with all the talk of tigers, we've got to go. Ruben Navarrete is a syndicated columnist who writes for the San Diego Union-Tribune and CNN.com. He joined us from San Diego, and NPR's political editor Ken Rudin sat right here in our Washington studios. Thanks both for your insights.
Thanks, Allison.
Thank you.